beautiful, and you do a great job. Hey, everything I've been at, Ann's been there too. And she has. Every time I show up, there's Ann. I'm like, God. And the thing is, you know, I'm a paid staff member. This lady here is doing it out of the goodness of her heart. And I think that makes special. Thank you, Ann. Okay, so when I was four, it's the farthest back I can remember for Christmas, I asked for a brown pair of cowboy boots. I asked Santa, you know, to bring me these cowboy boots. I already had the holster. I had the toy gun. I'd planned to ask for the hat for my birthday. I just needed the cowboy boots now to start to complete the ensemble. And to be honest, when I went to bed that night, I really had doubt about Santa's legitimacy. You know, I didn't really expect those boots to show up. But then on Christmas morning, I leapt out of bed. I ran down the hallway to the living room. And when I got to the living room and I looked under the tree, I froze. There they were. Around this modest array of other presents, a pair of brown cowboy boots. They weren't wrapped. They didn't have a ribbon around them. The surprise was just waking up and seeing them there. And it looked like they had a spotlight on them. You know how that is? Hallelujah! And it's like I saw nothing else. You know? And surprise was just the thrill I felt when I saw them there. And it never struck me that my parents had bought those for me. It was Santa, of course, right? It was Santa. Santa had come through. And Mom and Dad were sitting there on the couch, you know, watching me coming down. And I was like, wow, cowboy boots. And my mom said, look what Santa brought you. And I was like, from that moment on, I became a big Christmas believer. Not in Jesus, of course, but in Santa Claus. I mean, here's the real proof. Jesus didn't bring me those boots, right? And as far as I was concerned, they should have called this Santa Day, or maybe Clausmas, or Santamas, or something. I knew we went to church, and we heard the whole manger story, and because supposedly guys brought Jesus presents, you know, we were supposed to give gifts, you know, but what was Jesus doing photobombing Santa Day anyway? You know, I was wondering, it's kind of like Jesus and Santa, you know, they didn't mesh, just like Easter. We got the rabbit and then we got eggs. And even though, you know, rabbits, chocolate rabbits and eggs, beautiful colored eggs, you know, I didn't mind that. But there was Jesus photobombing another great holiday of colored eggs and candy. Well, needless to say, my relationship with Jesus and Christmas remained a little tenuous, somewhat tenuous, until I stepped away from my Catholic upbringing and started exploring the Jesus the man through Eastern philosophy, and which led me to my first Unity Church in 1985. So I'm saying this because I know that we all know what a spiritually diverse community we have here. We have Christians and transcendentalists, we have Jews and Muslims and Buddhists, even Wiccans. So I thought I would focus today on how we make the celebration of Jesus' birth relevant to everyone, not just to Christians. Because, you know, there are definitely two different Jesuses. Two different Jesuses around this holiday, for sure. The Christian Jesus, who's celebrated today for dying on the cross, for our sins, for resurrecting 3 days later. The Jesus that was born of a virgin, whose birth was proclaimed by a host of heavenly angels. The Jesus who healed the sick and raised the dead, calmed the seas, and was for all intents and purposes God. And then there's the human Jesus, the Jesus born in Nazareth, raised by a carpenter, who was a gifted teacher and rabbi, who saw injustice in his world and tried to empower his enslaved brothers and sisters to rise to a higher level of living through his teachings and his example. This is the Jesus we celebrate in Unity. This is the universal Jesus, I believe, the Jesus that Christians and non-Christians alike can embrace. Now, the biblical birth story of Jesus is rife with religious dogma, magical events, mythical lore. And it may be the reason why a lot of non-Christians might turn away from including Jesus in their holiday celebrations. Belief in this Jesus carries a lot of religious baggage, and it's just not for everyone. Charles Fillmore said, "No one should feel that the manner of Jesus' birth made him so different from the rest of mankind that we all cannot be perfect as he was perfect. It was Jesus' divine origin that gave him power, not the peculiar circumstances surrounding his physical birth. Each individual, though he may be unaware of it, is a divine child of God, heir to all of God's goodness. Each bears the same relationship to God as Jesus. All are equally sons and daughters of the Most High." So I'm going to read two different accounts of the birth story today, both beautiful narratives, both just as likely to be true as the other. Both paint completely different pictures of Jesus. First, I'm going to read the traditional birth story. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now, there are two versions of Jesus' birth in the Bible, one in Matthew and one in Luke. Luke's account makes no mention of the virgin birth, but you'll find it very familiar. It goes like this. "In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world would be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In the region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was the angel of multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' So when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." So it's beautiful, beautiful narrative. And the second story I'd like to read is, for many of you know, my favorite book by Khalil Gibran, Jesus the Son of Man. And this story is told by Anna, who is Mary's mother, Jesus' grandmother. It goes like this. "Jesus, the son of my daughter, was born here in Nazareth in the month of January. And by the night, and the night that Jesus was born, we were visited by men from the east. They were Persians who came to Esdraelon with the caravans from the Midianites on their way to Egypt. And because they did not find room at the inn, they sought shelter in our home. And I welcomed them and I said, 'My daughter has given birth to a son this night. Surely you will forgive me if I do not serve you as it behooves a hostess.' Well, then they thanked me for giving them shelter. And after they had supped, they said to me, 'We would see the newborn.' Now the son of Mary was beautiful to behold, and she too was comely. And when the Persians beheld Mary and her babe, they took gold and silver from their bags and myrrh and frankincense and laid them all at the feet of the child. Then they fell down and prayed in a strange tongue, which we did not understand. And when I led them to the bedchamber prepared for them, they had walked as if they were in awe at what they had seen. When morning was come, they left us and followed the road to Egypt. But at parting, they spoke to me and said, 'A child is but a day old. Yet we have seen the light of our God in his eyes.' and the smile of our God upon his mouth. We bid you protect him, that he may protect you all. And so saying, they mounted their camels, and we saw them no more. Now we say that Jesus was human, fully human, and fully divine. And I think the first story celebrates the divine Jesus. The second story celebrates the human Jesus. And what if this Christmas story was told to the world? It's authentic, it's believable, and it's beautiful prose, just like Luke. But maybe not quite as interesting. Maybe it wouldn't make as good of a movie as Luke's version. But it still tells the story of a son born in January in Nazareth who came into the world with the light of God in his eyes and grew to be one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our time. This child was born like any of us would have been born, but this child grew into one of the most recognized historical figures in the world. And I think Christians and non-Christians alike could celebrate this Jesus in the same way we would celebrate or honor maybe Martin Luther King Jr. So how do we use Christmas Day to celebrate this universal Jesus? So here in Unity, our celebration of Christmas centers around the teachings of Jesus, not the teachings about Jesus. So Jesus taught, "These things I do, you will do, and even greater things." So in Unity, our celebration of, the birth of Jesus is celebrated as representing the Christ within us and seeks to express and do greater things in our life. Jesus told us, "You are the light of the world." So on this day, we give thanks for that inner light. We see ourselves as wondrously made. We declare and assert our divine nature so that we may live more fully from it. Jesus taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be kind to the poor, to feed the homeless. So at Christmas time, we give gifts. We get out and we volunteer at food kitchens, like breakfast in the streets. We give a little extra to that homeless person in the parking lot at Harris Teeter's. We purchase gift cards for needy families, and we purchase gifts for children who may otherwise have no gifts. Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." So during this holiday season, we intentionally attempt to be more patient with drivers on the road, more courteous to others when shopping, holding the door for people bringing in their shopping carts, generally being kinder to all. In other words, we emulate the life of the man we are celebrating. We praise and worship Jesus by seeking to be like him. So on Jesus Day, my motto is, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD, in every aspect of my day. Hopefully that carries on throughout the year until I become a full expression of the life of Jesus each and every day. Jesus demonstrated forgiveness in the face of hate. He demonstrated life in the face of death, truth in the face of doubt, and above all, he demonstrated peace. Peace in the face of chaos, peace on earth, peace between one another. Most importantly, inner peace, the peace within. Jesus was a child of peace. He wanted us to experience the peace of union with God that he was experiencing. When he said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, outer peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is what happens when you have inner peace. Your heart is at peace, and you fear nothing. So these are the qualities of Jesus' life that are universal to all people and to all religions. Whether you're Christian or not Christian, religious or not religious, Jesus' actions and teachings are a model for the highest form of human behavior. Perhaps we can make Christmas about the birth of a great man who lived to show us a better life. So here are five suggestions you might want to take to heart today as you celebrate Jesus Day. Number one, perform random acts of kindness. Give an extra $5 or $10 to the homeless person. Visit someone who's sick or homebound. Ask anyone you meet today, "What can I do for you today?" Help someone carry their groceries or just holding the door for someone. Many of you served yesterday at the adult home, Virginia Adult Home for Adults or helping with breakfast on the streets, a perfect way to exemplify the life of Jesus. Number two, Jesus was all about forgiveness. If there's any unforgiveness in your heart today, just take advantage of the energy of love and giving that's all around us. And you can draw on that energy to muster the courage to forgive some grudge you've been holding, or to maybe ask forgiveness for transgression you think you may have committed. Forgive. Number three, if given the opportunity, defend those who are persecuted. Love those whom you might see as unlovable. Number four, spend time today in the silence. Try to find a little sliver of time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes if you can, to just contemplate the divine spark within you, that divine spark that Jesus demonstrated so fully. This was not accomplished by a supernatural being ordained by God as the only begotten Son. This was the gift of creation, present and available to all of us. And finally, if you're not into the what would Jesus do thing, or perhaps you're just relaxing at home today and not encountering anyone, you can just sit quietly for a few moments and give thanks. And if you're so low that you can't even think of something to be grateful for, then think of something you would be grateful for if you had it, and try to feel that gratitude vicariously. By feeling it vicariously, in effect, it creates your own gratitude, and that opens that door to healing, to do the healing work in your spirit. After all, Jesus was grateful. He demonstrated gratitude. He demonstrated the power of gratitude by giving thanks before he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He gave gratitude. He gave thanks before raising Lazarus from the dead. Do these things in the name and the nature of the one whose life we celebrate today. And if you're focused on this, I guarantee the chaos, the materialism, the stress of trying to keep up with the seasonal obligations will dwindle down and eventually disappear as your energy is spent doing things that feed you and not on the shoulds and the have-tos that can make this time of year so stressful. So I'm going to close with this prayer for Christmas. It's written by Unity Poet Laureate James Dillett Freeman. It really captures the spirit of Christmas, the way we see it here in Unity. May there always be room in your heart for divinity to find a birthing place. May you be as holy as the angels, as faithful as the shepherds, as humble as the cattle, as wise as the wise men. May you have the compassion of Mary, the understanding of Joseph, and may the blessing of the Christ child be yours, not because of his birth night long ago, but because his love is born in you today. This Christmas, as you celebrate the birth of our wayshower, may you also celebrate the birth of the Christ within you. I invite you all to take these sacred themes of light, fulfillment, joy into your heart and ask yourself, what is waiting to be birthed in me? What is waiting to be born in me this year, right now in this moment and throughout the next year? What greater aspect of your being is waiting to come forth? Consider that the true magic of the season is Christ in you, your hope of glory. And feel the excitement and the possibilities this holiday season has to offer. So on behalf of Christians and non-Christians everywhere, here's wishing you all a joyous, healing, reflective, and peaceful Jesus Day. Now let's take a moment for meditation. Feel that beautiful presence of spirit that's surrounding us now, going through our nostrils, into our lungs, into our heart space, and just imbuing every cell of our bodies. We bring our attention into this very moment, into this now moment where we are all one. This now moment, which is all there really is in truth. We know this season is not only celebrating the birth of Jesus, but also the birth of the light. Solstice celebrations all over the world recognize this time as the birth of the light in the darkness. darkest night, the deepest darkness, is slowly and daily overcome by the light of the sun. Allow this light in you to ignite right now. See the blue flame of the divine come to life in your heart. Know that this is the Christ light in you, the same light that illumined the heart of Jesus of Nazareth, illumines your heart right now. And as we're made aware of this profound truth, we can begin to feel the presence of that great Spirit here among us. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, in the name and the nature of the fully expressed Christ, there I am among you." So let's experience together this holy presence of the great Spirit of Jesus of Nazareth. Let our hearts be filled with gratitude. And in this state of holy union with the divine and with one another, I invite you to just ask one question. What is waiting to be birthed through me right now and in the coming year? What divine expression of life is seeking to live through me now, to live through my life? As we take that question, let's take that question into just a few moments of silence. Today I give thanks for the rebirth of light in me and for the rebirth of the awareness of the Spirit of the Lord awakened and quickened in me today. We give thanks in the name and the nature of the one whose life and teachings we emulate today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Expression of your unfolding.